Hey, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. It's your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into another awesome and wonderful episode of Larry's Biblecast. Hopefully you guys are doing well, and I'm really excited about this episode here. This is a very good episode. This is day 15 of favor, and I just hope that you enjoy this episode. Listen, we are at this moment, we're going through the month of July. We are kind of going toward the end of July, which means that we are a little bit past, matter of fact, we are 1 month past the halfway point of 2022 and going toward the end of the year again, right? So I hope everybody's doing well. I hope all is well. Keep praying for our nation. Keep praying for others around you, your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, those that you work with. Keep praying for those people, your people, your circle of influence and those around you. We need it. We need prayer. We need prayer. And so there's a lot that's been happening in our world today. Just a lot of things that that are happening out there. So we definitely want need to be prayed up all the time. Okay, never let up. Read your Bibles each and every day. I don't care whether if you go to church on Sunday, that's fine, but continue to read and study God's word and worship the Lord. Worship him. Just ask for things, you know, asking him for things, which is fine. We should, but we need to spend some time to worship and praise the Lord. Amen. I was reading the verse of the day and it was telling us about give a reason for the hope that lies within you. Matter of fact, let me pull that verse up again and the verse of the day. And it says here, it says, and this is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. If someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Okay. If you want to hear, let's read it out of the New King James Version. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, which with meekness and fear. And I'm going to tell you, it's very important in these last days. And I stress that last days because of the fact that we're getting closer and closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's so much negativity. There's so much killing. There's so much murders that's happening. There's so much ungodliness that is happening in our societies, in our world, in our culture, that people are, you know, we have to be the light in the world. That doesn't mean that we're standing on the street corners and yelling. Some people are doing that. Hey, if that's their calling to do, let them do it. But at the same time, you and I, we are supposed to live our life to where it is illuminating in a world that is full of different things that are going on, different religions, different beliefs, different all kind of things. I'm gonna tell you, if you didn't believe that Satan wasn't busy, he is definitely busy, and he's busy behind the scenes. He's not the red guy in the pitchfork you see going around, but there are so many things that you can tell that have an evil influence behind it, whether it's in the culture, whether it's in movies and music, whether it's in the video games. It doesn't matter. There's times where I play some video games, but there's some things that I know that just in my spirit, that just doesn't settle right. And we need to pursue the discernment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, you know, you're going to have to really lean in more on the Holy Spirit and let him guide you. Let him guide you into what is considered right and what is considered holy and what considered so that you can be more of a light and a more of a witness, whether you say verbally about Christ or whether you live in it. It doesn't matter. We need to be the children of God that are in a world full of darkness and evil. Amen. So I just want to encourage you, continue to pray for me as I give you, put out the podcast or put out the messages. And I pray that this one is going to help encourage you and inspire you to continue to move forward. It's still a book on a devotion on favor. And this is day 15. So again, hopefully you enjoy it. Please share. Please continue to subscribe and share this podcast with those of you around you. So I greatly appreciate all my listeners, every single one of you that are listening and sharing this podcast. I appreciate you. Love you. And so without further ado, let's get into this next episode of Larry's Biblecast. Thank you again for listening. All right, so let's get right into the next portion of scripture. Those of you that have been following me, let's get into day 15. Day 15 of the devotional out of the YouVersion Bible called Favor. And hopefully you've been enjoying this this series. Favor is it's pretty amazing devotional so far. We've had so many different examples. I think that in reflecting on some of the devotions of favor that I've been reading, it really has a lot to do with position, your position in Christ, I wouldn't say status, but just your position in Christ, meaning, and I say this not in a way that sounds like you have to perform, but it's a heart issue. And maybe that's a better way of explaining it. Toward the end of this devotion, we'll probably go over just a summary of different themes that we've read when it comes to how favor is given to the Christian or awarded to the Christian. And again, I know I'm using these certain words that seem like they are considered like merits, but favor, just the very word favor, or just the very act of favor from God, actually encompasses grace. In other words, grace is given to us, those of us that we don't deserve. We don't deserve grace. We are given grace freely as children of God. And I will say this: this is more, grace is more of a benefit that we have as a believer, just being a child of God. And grace is nothing that you and I should look for, but it is something that is given to us because God loves us. God loves us. And it's just like, I would say, as a parent, sometimes you give your children a gift or an award or something. Just maybe you take them out for dessert or something that you know that they like and enjoy, just because, not because they've done anything, done anything so great all the time, but just the mere fact of you being able to give and do something for them, something nice. And you do it as a parent because you love them. See, you love them. You love them because they are your son, your daughter. And you just want to do that extra special thing. And I think looking back at all these different lessons that we've went through so far, it's that. But it makes it easier for our Father God to continue to give us favor, grant you favor, when there are certain characteristics that you are now you and I now attain by being closer to the Lord. And one of the things that I love about this series is the fact that it is showing how being closer to the Lord and walking with the Lord over the years. Some of you have been with the Lord for years, right? Well, your character, your demeanor, the way you are should have a difference, should have a change of difference, okay? So in this one here, this is day 15 we're getting ready to get into. I'm going to read several verses here, and then we'll end with the devotional this time of this. And we're going to read out of the book of Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to start at verse 13, okay? So let's get into this. This is, again, day 15. So it says here, one day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples, but the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." We'll talk about that in a minute. And he placed his hands on their heads and blessed them before he left. Someone came to Jesus with this question: "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" Verse 17 says, "Why ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments." "Which one?" the man asked. Jesus replied, "You must not murder, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself." "I've obeyed all these commands," the young man replied. "What else must I do?" Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were astounded. "Then who in the world can be saved?" they asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible." Then Peter said to him, "We've given up everything to follow you. What will we get?" Jesus replied, I assure you that when the world is made new, the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne. You who have been my followers will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return, will inherit eternal life. Okay, let me read that one more time. Will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. But many who are the greatest now will be the least important then. And those who seem least important now will be the greatest then. I want to immediately tackle this last verse, verse 30. When he says, "But many who are the greatest now will be the least important then, and those who seem to be least important now will be the greatest then." I want to say, and I might be wrong for saying this, so forgive me in advance if this may be interpreted the wrong way. But I feel like what Jesus was talking about was that in the order in which we receive not only salvation, but just walking with the Lord. A lot of us, some of us, including myself, I include myself in this, that have been walking with the Lord for a little while now, we would probably end up being, I would say, the least important. And the reason why is because we've been walking with him for a while. And those that maybe some of you or some people that you may know that have received Christ already or just received Christ, maybe they may be the greatest. They may shine the greatest. And the reason why I say that, you probably are asking me why. Why did you say that? Part of it is because of the fact that a lot of times, you know, when those that receive Christ, I go back to the time when I first received Christ in my life, there was nothing that holds you back from what you would give up. You would give up certain things in the world in order to really follow Christ in your life. I'm not saying that those of you, excuse me. I'm not saying that those of you that don't or that have been following Christ don't give up nothing. Dedication and loyalty and devotion to the Lord is important. But he looks in favor on all of us as his children. But those of us that have just come into the kingdom of God, those of us that had just received Christ, they shine brighter. They're excited. They're you know, they have so much they have so much vigor. They have so much like tenacity, like they're going forth and on fire for the Lord. And like I said, I remember a time when for me, myself, I mean, you know, just witnessing and evangelizing with people, there was not a person that I wouldn't go and tell people about Christ. And I still do from time to time. But I've noticed a change, you know, in my lifestyle even. And so that's just me, you know, admitting and being transparent with some of you. But I am doing this, of course, now, you know, of course, you know, spreading the gospel and having this time to, you know, to share. But it's so much different. So much different. I was reading a verse of the day that was encouraging those that knew, that have the faith in the Lord to be able to share for the hope that lies within you. In other words, be ready to give an answer, give a defense for the hope that lies within you. Those of us that are Christians, you know, people ought to know, would know that you're different. They know that you are a child of God. They know that there's something different. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. And so, of course, you would stand out among your peers, among your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you are constantly around. And those that you're constantly around will probably see a difference or know that there's a different things about you. So the verse I wanted to go back on, that which is really, this is really interesting here, was when Jesus talks about or tells the children, because of the parents were bringing their children to Jesus so that he can lay hands on them and pray for them, right? And I love this answer that Jesus gives. And this is kind of in the theme of this devotion today. He says, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." Now, he's not just saying children, but he's also saying people who are like these children. How are children? Those of us that either have children or know children, they're innocent, right? They accept things as they are. A lot of times they don't question. Sometimes they do, they have a lot of questions, but their questions are intently because they're intentional, because they listen. They listen, they take things for face value. They ask questions because they are curious. They want to know. They are open to want to know more. And that's how some of us should be. Those of us that are not that way, as we've gotten older, and some of us may have attitudes of, well, I know all this and I've been walking with the Lord so many years. This here is a verse that we really need to check our hearts and our devotion, because your devotion may not be as close as you may think over the years. And again, it's funny how this theme right now is about humility, and it's about getting back to the basics of how much you love the Lord and how much you are like this, like a little child. Not so much in maturity, but questions and just innocence, you know. We have to learn that the best times of our lives was when we were discovering more about the Lord, right? You were discovering about him. You were like a child. You were discovering more about God and how much he excites you and how much he goes is basically penetrating your mind and your heart. Nowadays, we have so many different things that are happening in our lives, whether it's our jobs and our responsibilities and things like that. And those seem to cloud our time and our devotion of the time that we have with the Lord. And you'll find that the more things that we have to do, so to speak, whether it's, you know, our daily errands or whatever, those things begin to take more priority than enjoying that time that you would spend with the Lord himself. So, again, that's just something to be aware of I don't know where you're at in your Christian walk, but in your Christian walk, make sure that you're keeping that intact. Make sure that your relationship with the Lord is still like at a time of discovery, and that you're enjoying that time of loving him and loving the Lord. Amen. Your prayer time should be a time of conversation, but also of listening. And I say conversation, when you're speaking to the Lord, make sure that you're giving time for the Lord to speak to you, that you're looking for him to respond to you and not by way of a request, but by way of just adoration. How many of you, when you pray, that do you just pray sometime, not just asking all the time, but you are also given time of worship, meaning get a time of telling him how much you love him, how much you adore him, how awesome he is, how powerful he is, how mighty the Lord is in your life. You know, how many of you are doing just that, not just, you know, rattling off a bunch of requests before you leave out the door? So, you know, these are certain things that we have to get better at if we're not doing these things. But I love this when he talks about that. He talks about let the children come, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those. See, he doesn't exclude us. He doesn't exclude you or me. He says, for those who are like the children, okay, like these children. And that's what he used the children as an example of explaining how we ought to be, how we should be, in as far as that, right? Then he goes on, and there's a question about eternal life, okay? He says, why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. But to answer your question, he says, if you want to receive eternal life, keep these commandments. And he asks, which ones? And Jesus replied, you must not murder, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely, or basically lie, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he replies, I've obeyed all these commandments. And it's so funny, the answer that he gives Jesus, as if, you know, he's completed this and he's done. So therefore, can I get it? You know, and he says, the young man replies, what else must I do? And Jesus told him, he says, if you want to be perfect, he says, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. This is a very interesting dialogue to me, only because this young man, it gets the appearance in this dialogue here that this young man has had a checklist, as if to complete that he's completed all these things. And this is kind of the thing that Jesus, you know, he I'm sure that if we can see this, I'm sure Jesus had the insight to see this himself. He knew that the issue wasn't him obeying these commands. He knew that the real issue was the possessions that he had. That was the thing that was more of a challenge, but more of a stumbling block for his full devotion to the Lord. Okay. The other words, the good thing about God, I'm going to tell you, the good thing about God is he can zero in on each and every one of our situations. He knows, like, you're doing good here, but this is the area that I really want you to improve on. This is the area that I want you to tackle. You know, this young man understood what not to do. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't, you know, and a lot of us, you know, whether you might even have like a military background, you follow orders very well, right? And you read this, you read the Bible, you read the Old Testament, and you got that down. Like, I can follow these are commands, and I'm a person that follows by command. But there may be other things in your life that God wants to work on. And in this case here, Jesus knew, he already knew the answer that he was going to get. He already knew that this young man was going to say, well, I've done all that. Okay, so what else? It's almost like the person that you may talk to that says that, oh, I've been walking with the Lord for many years, so what's the problem? You know what I'm saying? What else I got to do? You see, like I'm done. I'm ready to go to heaven. But there are so many other things that God is still working on you, even if you've been with the Lord for many years. God's still saying, well, you still got to work on this. We still got to work on that. See, listen, our job or our motivation should never be, well, I'm just going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart and get eternal life and go to heaven. And I'm ready to go to heaven no matter what anybody else thinks. We should have an attitude. We should be always under development. That means we're constantly learning. We're constantly growing. We're constantly maturing in the Lord. So there's never a time, even at the moment when you pass away. You know, some of us, we're completionists by nature. We got to complete a task. We got to complete get to a goal. We got to, you know, and you're good at it. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not a good thing, but you're good at it. You're good at completing a task. You're good at getting all the things that you have on your list done. And that's something that you're good at. But we're not perfect as much as we want to be. A lot of times we are perfectionists at what we want to do. And you notice he says this here. He says, if you want to be perfect. And I feel like even when he says that, he's talking to those of us that feel like we've got this checklist and we've done it all. Now, what else? We're going to sit here. We're going to get ready to go to heaven. No, he says there's more. So he says, if you go and sell your possessions and give money to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Now, this is not just the end of this. You notice here the reaction that the young man had after he was told this. He said, verse 22, he says, but when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Now, if you have many possessions, why be sad? Right. But the Bible specifically tells us about his reaction. It tells us exactly his reaction after being told by Jesus what he wanted, he had to do. You notice he starts off, at least in this version, in the New Living Translation version, it says, if you want to be perfect. See? And that's why I'm saying, you know, some of us, that's how we are. We want to be perfect. We want to be perfect, even though we're told all the time that we're not perfect. We're sinners, but we want to be perfect. We want to be God's favorite, right? We want to be God's favorite. We want God to, you know, we have this in us sometimes to achieve. You know, we live in a world, in a society of achievement, being the employee of the month, being the best that we are in our jobs, being the best maybe on our neighborhood and our family, trying to be one up from our siblings, you know, whatever it may be. You know, it's like we want to be favored. We want to be number one. And in the kingdom of God, it doesn't work like that. You know, it doesn't work like that. And this is why, you know, the verse that we started off reading, or the end of the verse of this passage, talks about that. It talks about the ones that are the greatest will be the least, and the least will be the greatest. It's totally against the whole construct of our human understanding when it comes to achievement, right? And he flips that around. He turns it on his head. Now let's continue on here. And he says in verse 23, Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to go into this and explain and talk about this a little bit. He says, I'll say it again. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to give you a little context on this part, and I learned this myself, and so that's why I want to share this with you. I remember a preacher preaching this here passage, and there is a over in the Middle East, there is what kind of like a border crossing or a crossing where you have to go. It's called the Eye of the Needle, and I never knew this until I heard this, but those people used to travel with, you know, their camel, and they're on their camel. They had all their possessions on the camel's back. So in order for the camel to go through this eye of the needle, which was kind of like a archway or a doorway, the camel, you have to take off all the possessions that the camel was carrying, which would be all of the person's possessions. Okay. And then for the camel to crouch down on their knees in order to scoot through this eye of the needle. Okay. And literally when you think of, because I remember as when I first read this, or when I was reading this as a younger person, I would say that's kind of crazy to think of a camel going through a literal eye of the needle. But it's really, he was really using the reference of a thing that they all were, well, they knew about, which was, they knew that the way that camels and people travel, there were certain parts of the country that they had to send their camels through this area where the camel would have to take off all the things that they had, which was everything, in order to get through. And this was in context of the illustration that Jesus was talking about. But he uses this illustration very vividly. It's like a very vivid illustration for people to understand that it's very hard to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because people want to carry things with them. They're connected to their possessions. They're connected. Okay. And it's important in the context of what we've just read, that this young man, going back to this young man, he completed all these things. But Jesus wanted to, you know, and I think Jesus was, he wasn't he wasn't trying to make this young man feel bad, but he was saying something to help him to understand that you have many possessions, you have many things, you are very rich. And so you need to give that up and give to the poor so that you can come and follow me. That means, you know, a lot of times what we don't realize is that we have so many things. And again, going back to achievements, going back to all these things that we can like trophies. We can show people this is what we have. This is what we've earned. This is what, you know, this is how many titles I have. You know, some of you might have a lot of titles, whether you're a pastor, a bishop, or whatever it is. Now those are fine. But what if you just didn't have any of that and you were just a regular person? You know, I mean, just doing what regular people do or a regular Christian do, right? So, you know, a lot of times these possessions or these things that we have are in the way of what the real issue is. It's not so much that you're not a good person. You may follow the rules, follow commands. You don't steal. You don't murder. You're a very good, morally good person. But there is still something that is hindering you. What if today Jesus told you that, you know, yeah, you've been following me for many, many years. You're a very great person. People, you get a lot of accolades from people. You get a lot of people that just are telling you how good of a person you are, and maybe you've gotten rewards. Those things, a lot of times, don't really matter when it comes to God. What matters is your heart. It matters is your full devotion to Him, and there are things that God can look at within ourselves. I think that one of the best prayers that we can pray is one of the prayers that I remember where David was saying in the book of Psalms, and I can't remember exactly where it is, but he says, whatever it is in me, find whatever imperfection in me so that I can be better, so I can be more the way you want me to be. We should have the attitude or the pursuit of not just pleasing the Lord, and not just that, but just being more open for God to turn His light inside of us so that we can be better. Do you realize that the good thing about this dialogue between Jesus and the young man was the fact that Jesus wanted him to be better. Jesus wanted him to be better. You notice at the end of what he said, come follow me. Come follow me. Listen, going through life, you'll never be able to attain or take with you from this life anything that you've obtained into the next life. It is literally, I mean, I know there's a saying out there that says that you never see a U-Haul being connected to a hearse. It simply means that you'll never take anything with you when you die, you'll never. I mean, I've seen some ridiculous stuff on social media where, you know, people have either been buried with their motorcycle. I saw that was crazy. But just other things that people, you know, people are putting jewelry and stuff. I mean, there's certain cultures that people put all kinds of jewelry and everything else into a casket of a person that has died. But the bottom line is that in the afterlife, you'll never take anything with you. You'll never take any of your possessions with you. There's no reason why you should. And so that goes said, what you do in this life and what you and how you live in this life and how you have impacted people and in a good way. I'm talking about in a good way for the Lord. Those are things that God has looked at and will go with you from this life into the next. It will go into eternal life. Those are the rewards. Those are the things, you know, what sacrifices that you totally make. Listen, it's okay to have nice things in this life. It's okay to have nice cars and houses. It's okay to have many, many things. But then there's some things, though, that when Jesus or when God in our Christian walk, He says, I want you to get rid of that. I want you to kind of tone that down. I want you to kind of step away from what you're doing. It's to make you better. It's to bring you closer to Him. You know, there's so many things in our walk with the Lord that is kind of hindering us. It's kind of hindering us from getting closer. And God just wants that more, a closer relationship. It's not so much that you're doing anything wrong, but He wants your heart. And sometimes that's all the room that is needed. It's just your heart. He wants your heart. He doesn't want all the things. He's If you achieve all these good things, that's good. But he really wants the full you, devotion, your attention, your devotion to him. Amen. And so we're going to take a quick little break. This was pretty awesome here. And we're going to come right back with a little bit more. Okay. All right, so welcome back. So the next portion of the scriptures in this devotion of day 15, devotion of favor, we're going to go ahead and we're going to read out of Matthew chapter 20. And we'll go not quite all the way to the end, but it's going to be almost a full chapter. So kind of sit back and relax and listen to this. So in verse 1, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon, again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw more people standing around. He asked them, 'Why haven't you been working today?' They replied, 'Because no one hired us,' the landowner told them. 'Then go out and join the others in my vineyard.'" Verse 8 says, "That evening he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner. Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching sun.' He answered one of them, 'Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last." As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside privately and told them what was going to happen to him. Verse 18 says, "Listen," he said, "we're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead." Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. "What is your request?" he asked. She replied, "In your kingdom, please let my son sit in the places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." But Jesus answered by saying to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering and that I am about to drink?" "Oh yes," they replied, we are able. Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from the bitter cup, from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or on my left. My Father has prepared those places for those who he has chosen." When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authorities over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. So, as you can tell, this whole theme is about people wanting position, people who they want to be first. You notice going back to the parable about the kingdom of heaven, right? When he says the kingdom of heaven was like a landowner, and we can only assume in this parable that he was pretty much talking about God the Father. You know, those of us, again, like we talked about in the last segment, those of us that have been walking with the Lord for quite a while, you know, we're going to get the same reward as those that just came into the kingdom of God before he comes back. In other words, some of us have been walking with the Lord for many, many years, right? And there will be those that have just received the Lord maybe moments before Christ comes back. Which, again, it's not just so much this example, but also the example of being a Christian and being saved and going out and witnessing and evangelizing and things like that. Remember, he talks about those that were standing around, and meaning that they weren't searching for the Lord, basically. But he used this in a parable as a, you know how you see people that are out there. Sometimes you might see them waiting for work. And so a person may come by and pick them up. I've seen this actually in real life. I've seen this. So they give them the same wages. And so, again, I think this message of this parable is more about what God is willing to do and will do when it comes to, you know, the rewards or the favor, so to speak, of eternal life. Remember, everyone's going to receive eternal life no matter what. And it's not for you or for I to look at someone and say, well, he hadn't been a Christian very long. But look at him, he's walking around in heaven. You and I will be surprised by people that we see in heaven. Why? Because we don't know who is it, who God has already have their heart. And they may be someone that you would least expect. But this is why it's good for us not to judge. It's not good for us not to. And I say this in a way because I know there are people out there that feel like, well, it's all right to judge as Christians. But I'm saying in a way that God knows the heart of every man and every woman. OK, he knows your devotion. He knows what you do. He's aware, not us. We don't know. And for us to kind of sit in and be indignant of someone sometimes, as if, you know, to say they don't deserve something. Well, we don't deserve eternal life with our self-righteous self. Right. Sometimes we can become self-righteous. So we have to be careful of that. And so as the parable is done with this, as he's done with this parable, I mean, he talks about this and he ends it by saying that those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last. And again, it is about position, but it's not. It's about, you know, what God chooses. See, we should know this by now, that God does what he desires to do. And that's what it says in the parable. You know, the landowner was being attacked for what he felt that he wanted to do with his own money. And so that's the same thing with God. God desires to save all men. There's no one he doesn't want to save, even the ones that we feel don't deserve to be saved. And God says, I want to save them. See, if it were left up to us, there would be people not going to heaven, because we judge people based on either their performance or what they do, or their personality, or how, or their character, or what they've done to many people. And you know what? We need to learn to leave that up to the Lord. We need to learn to leave it up to God. See, ultimately, God is the final judge. He has the final say. So ultimately, we have to learn to leave these things up to the Lord. Leave it up to Him. Don't be in the judgment seat. He goes on to talk about, well, the scripture goes on to talk about how a mother has his sons, James and John. And they, before he gets into this, Jesus talks about, tells them privately that he's going up to Jerusalem. He tells all 12 disciples, and he tells them that he's going up to Jerusalem, and he tells them where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law, and they will sentence him to die. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. Now, listen to this. This is a very important instructions. And the reason why I say that is because the time that he told them, and who he told the instructions to, the events that was going to happen to him, to his 12 disciples, his inner circle, he didn't say this to not everybody else. Mind you now, Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen, and he had insight. He had knowledge as to what was going to, and the beautiful thing about it is Jesus never diverted off the plan of what God wanted him to do. But Jesus understood the end was coming, and he knew the exact location and who was going to betray him. And you know, the leading priest was going to betray him, of teachers of religious law, of all people. Okay. And then they will sentence him to die. Jesus is talking about the end of his ministry, his earthly ministry. He's talking about he's going to die. Now, I know that in history we've had individuals who, like Martin Luther King and maybe Malcolm X and others, that were very they were outspoken individuals, but they were leading the charge for things that they believed in and things that would change this country. And I'm sure there are many others that I haven't mentioned, but I will say this. The awesome thing about this was, along with them, Jesus spoke about his death. Jesus knew, and this would not be the end. And the awesome thing about this was he talked about not only everything that's going to happen, how he will be betrayed, what will happen to him, but ultimately that he would not only be crucified, okay, executed, and then he will raise himself from the dead. He will be raised from the dead. Okay. Now, this was all put out plainly on purpose. Okay. Intentionally. But then later, and I'm not sure if this happened, I'm sure this maybe happened right after this, or how soon this happened after that. But the mother of James and John, which they talked about, these were different, the sons of Zebedee. I'm not sure if these were like James. This wasn't James, the mother of Jesus, and James, I believe, the brother of Jesus. I'm sorry, and John. These were two different disciples, but they were, the Bible talks about, they were the sons of Zebedee. So they were kind of different than the others. It says Jesus came to Jesus with her sons. And it does say that she knelt in front of him respectfully. So she understood who he was. But the thing about it was, she asked, not the sons, but she asked, In your kingdom, please let my son sit in the place of honor next to you, one on the right and one on the left. And I thought this was a very interesting request, to be honest with you. Again, I want to say that she understood the weight of which Jesus carries and who he was, but what she was doing, though, was she was asking Jesus for a favor for the kingdom of God or for eternal life. And it was a very interesting question, because I think that the mother had well intentions, but she just didn't, I guess she didn't know what she was asking. And I think Jesus helped her with this. He did helped her with this. In other words, he just got through saying what was going to happen to him. Understand that this was not a thing to where it was reward. Okay, of rewarding of whether you sit on the left and to the right. In other words, have this great authority. And again, for those of us now, this is not up to God whether we're going to sit on the left or right of Jesus Christ, right? It's going to be decided. And whether we sit at the far end of the table, and I'm going to be honest with you, whether I sit at the far end of the table, or even if I'm not at the table, but I'm in heaven, I'm going to be just as grateful. But I just want to see Jesus. I want to be able to see him face to face. I want to be in the presence of God. But it's just funny how the people, the mother, they asked this question. And he wanted to help them to understand that this is nothing where you have this great pomp and circumstance coming into to heaven beyond the holy gates, right, so to speak. He was giving them a better perspective that entering in the kingdom of God will cause death, will be through your death, will be through your execution. There will be persecution. And for those of us living right now, we don't know whether we will be persecuted such as they were in the Bible. We don't know whether or not we're going to go through some kind of persecution. Remember, our culture is changing. The things that were considered right or considered okay to talk about, whether it's religion or anything of that nature, is changing. It's changing in our world. And I know it sounds kind of crazy, because we here in the United States have so much freedom to be able to talk about the Bible, to have podcasts, to talk about Jesus. But there may come a time. We've had people come into churches now, and they've shot people right in the church now. So I'm not saying that that's part of persecution, but there may come a time where you may not have in this country have the religious freedom to be able to speak freely about Jesus Christ, to be able to share your faith, to be able to teach about the Bible. That you may not have the freedom to be able to go to church. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but the time that we're living in, remember, we're still living in the last days. And in these last days, okay, in these last days, the devil is really at work, and Satan is really at work behind the scenes. Yes, we see a lot of things that are happening, whether in our country, whether it's in politics, whether it's in the world, as far as the world, countries and things like that. But understand this, Satan at the end, he's really ramping up different things that are happening, whether it's the moral compass in our country that you see now that is happening. There's so much massive killings. There's so much turning of the culture that's being accepted, and it's becoming the norm. That's becoming the new norm. And I don't want to go into more detail about it, but I'm sure some of you are aware that there are things that was considered ungodly, but now is considered acceptable. There's laws being passed that are considered acceptable. They, you know, so, and I say that because once upon a time it wasn't. Once upon a time, what the Bible says is what is how the country tried to be. And understand, the world will never be perfect. The world will never, this world that we're living in will never be perfect. Everything that we see that's happening in our country, whether it's in your country that you're listening to from where you're at now or wherever, you're seeing a change. You're seeing a change of morality, and you're seeing a change of respectfulness of the Word of God, of the Bible, of Jesus himself, of God. You know, there's people that are constantly attacking the validity of the word, validity of the Bible, the validity of if there is a God, if was Jesus who he was. There's this constant attack of the message of the gospel. And so they're trying to ultimately, Satan is trying to ultimately eliminate all forms of religion. And remember, this is not just something that I'm saying prophetically or anything like that. This is in the Bible. This is, you can read this. We're coming to that time. And so Jesus is talking to the mother of James and John, of sons of Zebedee, right? To let them know that in verse 23, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup. I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. You notice that he says, well, he has chosen. Now listen to this, and we're going to close it out real quickly here. You know that the rulers of the world lord it over their people and flaunt, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become a slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give life as a ransom for many. He understood his mission. He understood his goal, but he also wanted to give the perspective to his disciples. It's not about what position you're going to have, whether you're going to be on the left or right of me. That's up to the Father to decide that. But he also wanted to really hone in on leadership. Leadership in the kingdom of God is not like how it is in the world. Leadership in the kingdom of God is to serve. In other words, if you're a good servant, you're a great leader. But how many times we see in our world today, in politics, okay, even in our government, that people want the accolades, they want to be worshipped, they want to be recognized. It's all about them. We see that in social media. We see people want to be recognized. They want to see more me, more of who can follow me and things like that. So we see all that. It's all about, you know, you being on the throne. And that's another thing. We should not be pursuing to be on some kind of throne. And this is back to what the mother was saying for her sons. And it's a reason why I feel that the disciples were full of indignation, because it wasn't humble. It was asking Jesus, well, can I, you know, basically jockeying for position. And that's not what God is about, and that's not what Jesus is about. And that's why Jesus told her the way he did. He says, it's not up to me. It's not even up to me if God decides to put them to the left or to the right. It's basically, he just told them, this is what's going to happen. And he asked, and the response was the fact that you don't know what you're asking, because asking for something like this, asking for a position like this, doesn't mean that you're going to enter in with triumph. I'm going to be defeated. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be crucified. In other words, I'm going to be executed on a cross. I'm going to go through a lot of pain, and I'm going to go through a lot of mocking, and I'm going to be flogged, and I'm going to be left for dead pretty much. Now I will rise again, but you notice this. And I want to say this one last thing. The last thing he says, it says that I will rise again. Okay, this is one of the things that Jesus said at the end of what he taught his disciples. He says, but on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. Now, again, at that time, this was before obviously before he was crucified, but he told them that he will be raised from the dead. You notice that? Now, we all in the last days will rise according to the Bible. But at this time, Jesus is first, okay? Jesus will be first. He is the first to rise from the dead. And he will have to be the one that has given his life as a ransom for many. Remember, he talks about it here, but he also talks about it at the end where he says that my goal is to serve and not to be served, but to give my life for as a ransom for many. All right. Such a great perspective. Remember, Jesus was not, he did not command or demand people to bow down and worship him. But if they recognize who he was, which it sounded like the mother kind of did, but if you recognize who Jesus was a son of God. Only some people understood, even people that were full of demons, they understood who he was. When Jesus cast the demons out of certain people, he told them, don't say anything. But they knew exactly who he was. They knew that he was the Messiah. They knew that he was the Son of God, which holds a lot of weight. But even the Son of God, went through suffering. He had to go through being executed and being flogged and all the things that we know already, according to the Bible, that he went through. Okay. And so, and I'm going to say this one last thing that just kind of hit my spirit just now. You know, the reason why the attacks are happening so much with the Bible and with the Word of God is because of the message that it brings. Listen, Jesus, he came and he did not lord it over no one. He came as a servant. He came humbly, and yet he was attacked, and yet he went to the cross, and yet the teachers of religious law that was used by Satan behind the scenes to attack him. The whole goal and intent for Jesus was for Satan to kill him and to eliminate any type of validity of Jesus Christ. And remember this, even now, as you're listening to the sound of my voice, there are people out there that are going to attack and have been attacking the validity of Jesus Christ. It's not just so much God, because everybody talks about God. Everybody talks about a sense of God, a man of stairs, or whatever they want to call him, the higher power. But when you talk about Jesus Christ, you're getting to the heart of the issue here. You're really telling something about something or someone that they can't debate, and they can't deny who Christ is. And if you know and you acknowledge who Christ is, guess what? You have to acknowledge that you know, you must be saved. You must give your heart over to the Lord. See, there are so many things that are connected to the fact that Jesus Christ entered into our world 2,000 years ago. He was a biblical figure. He was a historical figure. You can't deny who he was. And the reason why the miracles, the resurrection was so powerful, because it's an undeniable proof that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. Okay. So there's so many attacks that will happen and will continue to happen. And this is why we as believers have to stay on guard with our faith and stay true to the faith and keep reading your word and keep praying each and every day. Because as the times get shorter, as the length of time that we have here gets shorter and shorter, we will see more and more things begin to ramp up. Remember, I told you that there are times in the times that we're living in now, the morality and the things that are considered wrong will continue to rise And we have to be sober-minded. We have to allow God through the Holy Spirit to give us discernment as to what we are seeing and the times. Remember, Jesus is coming back, but we got to remember that as we see these things, watch how the things that are starting to ramp up more and more and more. So just want to kind of let you prepare and have a sense of preparation and stuff for that. Now, we're going to take one last break, and I'm going to read the devotion, and just stick around with me, and we'll be right back. As promised, we're going to come to the conclusion of this this episode. And so we're going to go ahead and read the last portion of scripture, James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. And it says here, it says, "And he gives grace generously, as the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor." You notice how many times the word humble is being used here. There's actually about three different times, almost as though James in his letter or his the book here is, in other words, he's impressing upon the reader, which is us, about humility. Humility is very important. You notice that? And he says here in verse 6, he says he gives grace generously. Okay, grace generously. I remember we opened up today's devotion, we talked about grace. And he opposes the proud, okay, and gives what? Grace again to the humble. It's so important that we resist being proud, but we definitely need to have humility. And it's not so much, again, going back to the rich young ruler, it's not about how much you've been able to accomplish or do. It's not like how the mother, when she came to Jesus and asked him about the position of whether James and John could be on his left or to the right. You notice it's so much in here, theme of humility when it comes to favor and when it comes to grace. And remember, we have to understand not just the fact that and not just the fact of when and where and will we be on his left or his right, or whether we will be first or last. Remember, the Bible, Jesus himself talks about that. The last will be first and the first will be last. So we have to just continue to be steadfast in our devotion with the Lord. If you're praying, keep praying. If you're witnessing, preaching, the same thing, keep doing those things. And the Lord sees what you do. He even sees what you do in secret. He understands. He sees what you do. He sees your work. Okay. Just really pay more attention to your devotion and being steadfast in these last and evil days. This is very, very important. And you notice here, one of the things that I want to say, it says, "Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Remember that. This is very dangerous for Christians if your loyalty is divided between the world and God, okay? God wants your heart. He wants your devotion. He wants your loyalty. He wants your attention. Some of you that are married understand this very well, because your wife, your husband, they want your attention. They want your undivided attention when they're talking to you. Hey, man, some of us understand that very well, but understand that God, he too, you know, he used some extreme words where he says that anyone who has sacrificed mother, brothers, mother, father, sister, or brother, or houses or homes or anything for his sake will have more. Even more, and plus eternal life in the life to come. And so he uses extremities to show that you must have complete devotion to me. And I know that we're living in a time where it's so much going on, but we have to, make sure that we are positioning our devotion, our heart towards him. Amen. It's so important. It's very important for us to understand that. So before we close out, let's read the devotion here. And it says, there is a strong theme of humility in these two chapters, which is what I was saying. If we're not careful, our quest for favor could override a humble disposition. God reminds us three times in two chapters that he seeks to promote those who put others before themselves. We live in a me-first society that links self-worth to popularity and possessions. Our lives are documented in a sea of selfies, and our natural selfish tendencies feed on cravings of acknowledgement and affirmation. Sadly, the more we are consumed by ourselves and our situations, and less attuned we are to others and their needs. Against the norm, we must generate a shift in our minds. Instead of thinking in terms of how others presumably perceive us, let's consider how people perceive God through us. Our identity is not something to be created. Rather, it's something to be celebrated because Christ is in us. Life is not picture perfect. We experience seasons of events and an array of emotions. What matters to God is not our appearance, but our posture. One of humility and servanthood. What if we sought to befriend others more than we promote ourselves? It's when we are humble that God promises to lift us up. How can you elevate someone around you today? Wow. So isn't that wonderful? That's an awesome way to end this devotion today. We need to have a better posture. Better posture, and not so much look for that promotion, but if it's given to us, then praise God, you know. But I like what it says. Try to uplift others around you, and that should be our primary focus and goal. Remember, again, Jesus said himself that he came not to be served, but to serve many. And his goal was to ultimately give his life as a ransom for many. He knew that he was going to die. He knew that he was going to give his life up on the cross. And he did not shrink from that. And so such is some of us. We may go through persecution. We may not. We may die before anything bad happens to us. But understand this, whatever way that will leave us out of here, help us, you know, we need to be focused on really intently doing exactly what it is that the Lord wants us to do, even if it means going through death. Amen. So I know that's this is not a very popular thing. I know that, again, you know, you know, it's probably not as very encouraging. But understand this, that if you live for the Lord, your ultimate goal is to be in His presence, to be in His presence, no matter where you're at, you know, whether you're first or whether you're last. You know, ultimately, the love of God compels you to do more for Him than you do for yourself. Okay, that means putting others before you. Not only that, but sharing the gospel. Remember that. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let others have the opportunity to come into the kingdom of God, to know what it's like to live for the Lord. That is what's most important. And that's what will be most important in the end. Amen. So praise God. Thank you again. Thank you again for allowing me to share this message, this devotion. Hopefully you enjoyed and you got something out of it. Hopefully you enjoyed it too as well. And I will definitely be looking forward to being before you again. And until then, have a wonderful and awesome and blessed week going forward. And I will be talking to you soon.